Well, as Jerry reminded us, in a couple of weeks we do have the conference. And it is a real joy then to be able to gather together. And one of the things the conference does require, as Jerry's already touched on, it requires us to prepare physically, and it requires a time of spiritual preparation. And to me, this is one of the most precious things, particularly about the prayer times we have, that together we can really cry out to the Lord to be preparing our hearts. Also, I've noticed within my own life that at times it'll take we'll call it a special time or a special event for me just to stop and, let's say, take inventory of where am I in the Lord. You know, that we should be doing this every day. It should be a daily exercise of giving ourselves to Him and saying, Lord, continue searching my heart. But Lord, at times too, there are special events where we just need to stop, present ourselves to the Lord, and say, Lord, I want You to really be speaking to my heart and preparing me in a very special way. And it's time that we have this conference. And in a way, from a business point of view, it's like taking inventory. We have on your books and records what you say you have. But then you actually go out and see what you really have. And if it's not there, you write it off the books. It's a loss. And at times in our spiritual lives, we need to take an inventory. But it's the Holy Spirit that does the taking of the inventory. And the specific inventory I'd like for us to fellowship about this morning, in regard to using the conference as kind of a benchmark, is since most of us will be serving at the conference, it's our heart attitude and our lives as far as we're serving the Lord and His house. Lord, as we have this opportunity to stop and reflect, most of us, as we said, will be sharing at be serving at the conference in a lot of different ways. But Lord, we have a desire that my service would really be unto You. Now, Lord, I'm not here serving myself. I'm not here seeking my own glory. But Lord, we have a desire that our service would be unto You for Your glory and for Your honor. In that regard, we have a scripture that can help us in this because the psalmist cried out, and it's in Psalm 139. Because at times we can be so introspective within our own selves, but the light we have in our own self is really darkness, and we can't see too clearly. But the light of His life is a light, even as we've been worshiping this morning. It's a light of love. He loves us so much, He wants us to show some things in our lives that where we're not measuring up. And He wants us to be encouraged to continue on in Him. If we look at the end of Psalm 139, the psalmist has a heart cry to the Lord. Of search me, O Lord, and know my heart. This is verses 23 and 24 at the end there. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way within me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Today I'd like for us to fellowship just about this matter of our service to the Lord, our service to one another, and service within the house. And as we stop and we ask the Holy Spirit to take inventory, may we give the Holy Spirit the freedom within our lives to search us. Because it speaks in this verse, is there any hurtful way? You know, the hurtful thing is serving ourselves and not the Lord. And so as we have our time now, let's have a word of prayer and really commit ourselves to the Lord that He can speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we do come with worshipful hearts today. We thank You ever so much, Lord, for the greatness of the salvation we have in You. We thank You how You have redeemed us and called us unto Yourself. Lord, we thank You for the blessing of Your life within. Lord, as we come now, each one of us present ourselves unto You, that You could speak to us in a very special way. Lord, we each want to have a desire to hear from You, that, Lord, we have a desire to serve no other gods. But, Lord, sometimes we're not even conscious. I know I'm not even conscious. I'm serving myself. But, Lord, I thank You in Your love. You shine Your light. And today, Lord, we want Your light, Your Holy Spirit, to have a freedom in speaking, a freedom in hearing, a freedom in working within all of our hearts as we give ourselves to You. In Your marvelous name, amen. Now, sometimes as I pray, we don't even know what our real condition is. And I was thinking of it because I'm at that age where every year I go to the doctor and I get a physical exam. And I walk in and the doctor asks me, "How are you feeling?" And I say, "Fine." Well, does he take my word for it? Nope. He runs some tests. Then I walk out of the doctor's office because of my high cholesterol, the bottle of Lipitor. I was feeling fine before I went in. You walk in and you walk out, you know you've got high blood pressure. And all of a sudden you find out that your hearing's going bad. It's not that everybody else is just mumbling. Your hearing's failing a little bit. Well, this is the way the Lord provides these opportunities where we say, "Lord, we're fine." He says, "Well, let me examine you. Let me search your heart. Let's see how we're really doing here." And as we said, today we want to take this opportunity to ask Him to really be searching our hearts in this specific matter of service to Him and service to His house. And I don't want to make the conference too, it's not that we're doing this for the conference's sake. Because really, this is our daily lives. Really, we have opportunities every day to serve Him, to serve the brethren, serving one another. And we need to be seizing the opportunities that He provides for us. We need to be allowing Him daily, not just at these special times, but daily to be searching our hearts and training us in the way that He wants us to go. And I'd like to ask us one question today to kind of serve as the benchmark for our time together. And the question is, and I've been asking this of myself, am I a bond slave or am I a volunteer? It's an important question. Am I a bond slave or am I a volunteer? And I was very thankful today that when our brothers were sharing things, they didn't use that word volunteer because that would have been awkward. But it's a serious question because outwardly, if we look outwardly, they can look the same. But we know within this Christian life, it's an issue of our hearts. The heart is the issue. And we really want to consider this before the Lord today. Am I a bond slave or am I a volunteer? Well, first we want to have a clear understanding of what these two terms mean. So turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy. This is where we see the story of the bond slave in the Old Testament. It's in Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15 will be starting in verse 12. Deuteronomy 15:12, we'll read 12 through 17. "If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then they shall serve you 6 years. But in the seventh year you shall set him free. And when you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally from your flock, from the threshing floor, and from your wine vat. And you shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. You should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this day. And it shall come about if he says to you, 'I will not go out from you,' because he loves you and your household, since he fares well with you. Then you shall take an awl and pierce it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your servant forever. And also you shall do likewise to your maidservant." So here we have the picture of one. He had been a slave, but then he had been redeemed from his bondage and set free. And he wasn't just set free, but when he was set free, he was liberally provided for. He was provided everything that he would need. He was provided from the flock. It's the flock and threshing floor. But it's the flock and threshing floor. If I could speak English, the message would go a lot easier. But from the flock and threshing floor, and also from the wine vat. As I was thinking upon that, as we look upon it just spiritually, the flock, we have that precious Lamb of God provided for each one of us, provided for this one. The threshing floor gives that bread of life that comes forth. The wine vat gives you the new wine, the precious Holy Spirit. This one had been provided with everything and was set free to go whatever he wanted to do. No lack. And what was his response? He said, no, I love my master. But he didn't stop there. He said, I love my master and his household. Now, I read from the New American Standard, and some of the translations just use the word house. But I like how it uses household, because a household includes the people within. It includes the family that's there. Not just the house, we could think of a physical structure. But when it says household, it's speaking of all the brethren that are in that. And this one testifies, I love the master, and I love his household. And because of this love, I'm freely responding to him and freely giving myself to him to serve him all the rest of my life. And as a testimony of this, as a public testimony of this, I want my ear pierced to his house. So they take him and they do that, they drive that all on the doorpost. His ear is pierced for life because his heart is given. He's responded. In 6 years, he's learned, he's seen the master's love. And drawn by the love of his master, drawn by the love of those within that house, he responds and gives himself freely and says, for the rest of my life, I'm here to serve you. And I know that as I serve you, everything will be provided for. I don't have to worry. He's not thinking of himself. His heart now is set upon what is his master's desire, what is his master's purpose, what does he desire. And this is what he wants his life to be driven by and motivated by. We see the beautiful picture of the perfect bondservant in our Lord Jesus Christ. Out of a love for his Father, his Father's house, he came, forsook all of his rights, and gave himself so freely. And brothers and sisters, today, as he comes to us, what's our response? Isn't this what the Lord's done for us, of when he's purchased us and redeemed us? He set us free, and when we were saved, we were blessed so abundantly. But what do we take those blessings? How do we use them? Do we end up using them for ourselves, to further our own desires? Or do we return to him with a heart and say, Lord, I want to serve you all the days of my life. And just as that bond slave had his ear pierced, that ear piercing is the symbol of what's, it's almost the most critical aspect of a bond slave's character, having an ear to hear. Because what is a slave? He's useless to his master if he can't hear the master. And the Lord this day wants us to have that ear, because all throughout Scripture, how does it say? He who has an ear to hear what the Lord says. This is, may we know in the hour we're living in, when there are many voices out there, may as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we present ourselves to him, may we really come and have that desire to have an ear to hear what he's saying, to be bond slaves of the King of Kings, bond slave of the Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is to have the opportunity to serve him, not only just now, but throughout all eternity. The beautiful picture in the very last chapter in the Bible. Who are those that are before the throne of God worshiping and serving him? They're characterized as bond slaves. The bond slaves are there before the very throne of God. And may the Lord, in the hour we're living in, may we see his love for us and not just take it inward for ourselves, but may his love motivate us to return and offer ourselves to him, that we might be about our Father's business. In reality, we are bond slaves. However, experientially within our lives, are we bond slaves? Experientially within our lives, who are we living for? And how do we go about confirming that we are bond slaves of the Most High God? How do we go about allowing Him to train us that we'd be fit for our Master's use? And it actually comes back to one of these very foundational words that ends up being, I'll put this out of order so they can have more work next week. It comes back to one of these foundational words that sometimes, because of the familiarity to it, we don't hear it. As soon as we mention consecration, we can say, oh, I've heard the message on consecration. I know about consecration. 10 years ago, I consecrated myself. So we can just pause for a few minutes. Don't have to listen. But brothers and sisters, the very foundational thing, the very practical, experiential way that we within our Christian life confirm the fact that we're bond slaves upon this earth and that we're desiring that the Lord would make us fit for our Master's use comes back to this very issue of consecration. It's a foundational thing. It's an essential thing. And brothers and sisters, so much of the problems in our lives, day in and day out, can be traced back to this whole matter of consecration. Of who are we serving? We end up serving ourselves and we get in so much trouble. And just take a second to go over. But consecration is basically deciding who is in charge of our life. Who is Lord of our life? Are we in charge or is He really in charge? And it's settling this once and for all. In the Old Testament, the word consecration meant filling of the hands, or filling your hands. Your hands were full of things for the Lord. But it's tragic, I know, within my life and so many of our lives, it seems like we have our hands full with so many other things. We have the Lord in there, but then we have many other things in there. But brothers and sisters, how the Lord wants us to be laying those other things aside. And holding all that our hands would be full. Our hands would be fit for our Master's service. And as we present ourselves unto Him, we can do that. And as we do that, we have to remember that consecration is a free will response of His love and by the mercies of God. He's not demanding. He doesn't come to us and say, I have saved you, now I'm demanding this. He says, no. I'll show you my love. How are you going to respond to it? We know the familiar verse in Romans 12:1. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I present myself a living sacrifice. It's the mercies of God. As we look through all the beginning part of the book of Romans, those 11 chapters, we see the mercies of God. And then we see, because of that, we respond to His love. As the Lord opens our eyes to see His mercies, as the Lord opens our eyes to see His love, then we're drawn and we respond to it. It's also good to clarify when we're speaking of consecration that consecration is not giving yourselves to the Lord to do something for Him. So often we say, I'm giving myself, Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But brothers and sisters, no, this whole matter of consecration, it's not just giving ourselves to do something for Him, but it's giving ourselves to Him so that He can be in charge of our lives and that He can live out His life through us. Consecration isn't doing, it's being. It's allowing Him to be in charge of our life and Him directing us into the fullness of what He would have. Consecration also, it's a one-time event. Brothers and sisters, it's good within our lives, in particular for young brothers and sisters, if we haven't done it, when the Lord has touched our hearts, there is a one time when we get on our knees. You know, I love the songs. Do you ever notice the songs we sing? We always stand when it says, I stand to praise you. But we never get, the next verse says, well, get on my knees. We need to be on our knees. It's wonderful to stand and praise, but we also need to be on our knees. And as we get on our knees, as we give ourselves to Him, well, that is a one-time thing of settling within our lives. But then we know that as we go on in the Lord, we also need to daily be presenting ourselves to Him as that living sacrifice. Because This consecration, yes, it's absolute, but it's also progressive. It continues through our whole life. As we see Him, we respond to Him. But then as we respond to Him, He shows us more of Himself. And then at times when He shows us more of ourselves, we feel like, gee, I haven't even given myself to Him. And so there's a daily giving of ourselves to Him. He increases that desire within us that we would really be given to Him. And this issue of consecration is the step that we take upon this earth of testifying that we're bond slaves, that we're captured by our Master's love, and that we have this desire and we're giving ourselves to Him to serve Him and His matter and His house. May this matter of consecration not become too familiar to us. May it be fresh within our hearts day in and day out. And may we allow the Holy Spirit to take His inventory. As we give ourselves to Him, we're saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, take the inventory of my life. So this is a bond slave. The bond slave is one that is captured by the love of his master and responds to that and gives himself to the master that he can serve him and his house and one another. Now, what's a volunteer? To bring in the contrast here, I looked up in Webster what the definition for a volunteer is. And Webster says that a volunteer is one who freely undertakes a service or a duty. One who freely undertakes a service or a duty. So when I'm speaking of volunteer today, speaking of one who's attracted or motivated by a particular need, by a particular task to be done. We see a need, we go out and we do it. Someone says there's a need here, a need there, and we go do that. We focus upon the need and the task to be done, and we do that. Brothers and sisters, one of the strengths within this country is the spirit of volunteerism. We grow up in a country characterized by volunteerism. It's within our very nature. We thank the Lord that today we can celebrate 60 years after D-Day. There was a spirit of volunteerism where men went and gave lives. And we, as a country, we're characterized by that. Anywhere you go, you see volunteers. You go to the hospital, volunteers help you there. You go to schools, you have the PTAs, you have the class moms, you have volunteers everywhere. We go, we have the Boy Scouts, we have the Little Leagues. How could ones run marathons if the whole course wasn't serviced by volunteers? There are volunteers everywhere. We have rescue squads, the concerts, the ballets, the symphony. That's volunteers. And they're doing a service. There's a task they can do, and they have this. But we also, we have volunteers within the house of God. But does the Lord really want volunteers? Does the Lord want bond slaves? Or is He after volunteers? Now, I want to take a minute and clarify something also, because depending upon your translation, the word volunteer is used in some scriptures. Now, it's interesting to know that in the King James, that in the Darby, in the ASV 1901, or Young's Literal Translation, the word volunteer is never used. But in the New American Standard, in the NIV, the word volunteer is used in the Old Testament a few times. It's never used in the New Testament. So none of the translations ever use the word volunteer in the New Testament. But a couple of them use it in the Old Testament. But if we look at it, what's it really saying? If we look in the book of Judges, there's a story there. The people of Israel were in captivity. They were under oppression. But then the Lord came along and He raised up a leader. And He raised up there was a judge raised up. And ones were provoked to service. And real spiritual leadership came in. And it testifies in the Song of Deborah in Judges 5:2 of how when the leaders led, the people volunteered in that day. Bless the Lord. That's what it says in New American. But the Darby and some of the other more literal ones read, for the leaders led in Israel, for that For the people willingly offered themselves. The people were a free will offering. And it's a beautiful picture of how when the Lord raises up that spiritual leadership and they lead out, in that spirit there's a free will of ones giving themselves to the Lord and coming in and fulfilling all of His heart's desire. In the psalm, this phrase is used again in Psalm 110. It says, "The people will volunteer freely in the day of Thy power." But Young's literal translation says, "Thy people are free will gifts." Free will gifts. And we get the spirit of it there, that in the Hebrew, where some people translate it volunteer, the Hebrew word really means that of being a free will offering poured out for the Lord. They see the Lord and they respond with a free will offering. So this isn't to be confused with what we're talking about, the volunteer who's being task-oriented. So if you go home, and like John and I have New American Standard, and you can look in the margin in Psalm 110. The margin says the literal is a free will offering. Are we free will offerings to the Lord? Or are we serving ourselves? Now, to help us as we go through this matter, and trust as we go through it, this distinction between a bond slave and a volunteer will get a little more, become clearer. And we have, in one way, we can say we're going to have a test today. We've got a few questions to ask us. And as we go through this, we trust the Lord can be speaking to all of our hearts in this regard. And as we we're asking this question, am I a bond slave or a volunteer? Well, the first question we'll ask is, what is my motivation? What's the motivation of a bond slave? And what's the motivation? And what's the motivation of a volunteer? I don't have my flip charts, so you haven't used the overheads. So as we look at the bond slave, his motivation, as we've already said, the motivation for the bond slave is the love of his master. He sees his master. He's drawn by his master. He has a love for his master, his house, and the brethren, the family within that house. This is the motivating thing of the bond slave. We could call it, it's the motivation of love. Constrained by the love of Christ, as was Paul's testimony, that drew him on and on to enter into all that he would enter eventually. It's interesting as you look throughout the life of Paul and Peter and the many different ones, they all characterize themselves as bond slaves of the Most High God. And brothers and sisters, would that be our characteristic? Would that be what we are known as? Now, what about a volunteer? As we said earlier, a volunteer is one who sees a need. They see a need. It can be a legitimate need. And they go out and they go out and meet that need. They can also be those that are committed to a cause. We have many volunteers for the Cancer Society because there's a cause. And they're doing a lot of good in those areas. But we can have volunteers within the house of God that can be committed to a cause. And brothers and sisters, how we need to, it's when the Lord calls us into certain areas, yes, we respond. But what we're called to do is first love Him, and then He sends us out to serve where He desires that we serve. The volunteer also does a lot of things for appearance sake. Maybe he has this desire to look good in man's eyes. Oh, I want to do that. Everybody will see me. He likes to look good in man's eyes. Also, the volunteer will do things at times to please men, to win one's approval and favor. How many times at work do we see the boss says, "I need a volunteer to do this." And everybody says, I can get in on the boss's good side. If I volunteer to do this, I can win the boss's favor. So we end up doing that. There's always the motivation comes back to what we can get out of it. I win the boss's approval. I get satisfied. I get some praise. It's all as opposed to our master. There's a contrast here that we begin to see between the bond slave and the volunteer. Because the volunteer, he can get something out of it. Volunteer, maybe you, it's interesting how at times when we're going through school, they call voluntary community service. And in one sense, it's not voluntary because if you don't do it, you don't get credit. So you have to be a, quote, volunteer to get credit. Or how many of us at various times have volunteered to do something so we'll get into the event free? I remember when I was in college and I would go out and just volunteer different things so I could get into a concert free. This was days when I went, you know, I don't go to concerts now. But you used to be able to, it's my hearing. You know. But no, you could volunteer to go be an usher at a concert, then you got to get in free. Or you could volunteer to carry the chains on the side of a football field. You got into the event free. There are many ways to volunteer, and you've got something out of it. And I'm sorry, at times, even within the house of God, we're volunteering because we can get something out of it for ourselves. But are we those that are given solely for the Master's use? You know, I was looking about the Lord as we was thinking on this. I was thinking back at Paul and Barnabas. There they were in Acts 13. It's a beautiful picture, Paul and Barnabas and the others. And what were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord. And then they weren't focused on all the needs. They weren't inquiring even of where to go. They were ministering to the Lord. And then as they ministered to the Lord said, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas." And the Lord sent them out. They responded. Because they were bond slaves of the Most High God, they responded in love to what He said for them to do. And as they were called Him, it's tragic today. So many, as we look around, we can see the needs. The Lord said, "You'll have the poor with you always." But are we driven by the needs? Are we driven by the doing? Or are we driven by a response to the Lord's love within us, constraining us, and Him being master of our lives? The bond slave is one who is responding to the Lord being master of his life. And Paul, and it's not a, at times when we use this word, the Lord being and not doing, we can get this thought of being of passivity. But if you look at Paul's life, Paul wouldn't be characterized as a passive person. When the Lord told him to go, he went. And he gave himself so freely to the Lord and responded in such a marvelous way because it was a heart issue. The more we go on as we look at this bond slave and volunteer, we see it's a heart. Who is your heart in love with? Is your heart in love with the Lord, or is our heart in love with ourselves? Who are we choosing today to serve? So then as we come up and we're talking about this matter of service, we can ask another question. Where? Where do I serve? And obviously the bond slave is going to serve wherever the master says. And most of us have been studying Acts on Friday nights. And we just finished Acts 10. And I thank the Lord that Peter, a bond slave of the Lord, was willing to serve wherever the Master sent him. Peter was willing to go to Cornelius' house. Totally against his own upbringing, totally against his own constitution, his nature, everything within the natural Peter, or we could say Simon. That was totally contrary. But he was constrained by the love of his master. And when his master had prepared him and sent him out, Peter responded immediately. And he went. And he didn't even fully understand all of the implications. But he loved his master enough that he knew his master would take care and provide for him. He wasn't thinking of his own self. Well, what do people think of? Well, what about those guys back in Jerusalem? I've got to go face them. We're getting ready to go into Acts chapter 11. And sure enough, as soon as he got back in town, wham, they hit him up. "Peter, what are you doing going to those guys' house?" And but Peter calmly testifies of that, of how it was the Lord. How could he stand in the Lord's way? What the Lord was doing. This was Peter's heart, to wherever the Lord would have him serve. he was willing to go and to do this. But now the volunteer is based on my choice. I want to serve here. I've got a preference. I want to go ahead and serve over here. Maybe I've got a certain talent. I can serve in this area. We serve in the areas that are their priorities in our life. Things that are important to me. This is where I'm going to serve. But no, brothers and sisters, our service within the house of God and to one another is not based on His calling. I know, it is based on His calling. It's not based on our choice. We start to see over and over how this word involunteer, the word I and my starts popping up more and more. Self-satisfaction, self-glory, my way, I want to do this. And the bond slave, it's always upon the master. Oh, when we serve according to His calling, there's a fullness that's brought in. Because every joint is in its proper place and every joint supplying the way He would desire it to work and the way He's designed it. And it brings in a greater expression of life. It brings in a fullness of Himself. But often when we're serving in our own ways, where we're choosing, we can consciously or unconsciously, because they're priorities in our life, we can start to think that what I'm doing is a little more important, or what I'm doing is the most important. And then this can bring in conflicts. Now, if we stop and think, really, even within the house of God, there are two things that have been almost, since the first century, in conflict with one another. You have those that have a burden for the gospel. And they're always, their burden and their choice and their preference is go out, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. And then you have ones that are interested in the house being built. And instead of seeing that this is really one work, the gospel and the house being built are just two aspects of one great work, we fragment the work of God. And instead of building going on, we end up doing no good. It's all vanity. But how the Lord desires that as we as His servants, the bond slaves together, there are those that that He calls for the gospel, and we're supporting them. There are those that are involved more specifically in some of the aspects of the building, and we're supporting them because we see it's one great work that He is doing to accomplish His purpose. And brothers and sisters, when we fragment that, when we start thinking that our little area of service is more important, then the Lord isn't able to bring in that completeness and the glory that He desires. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity we have at the conference to practice this. Because, as we said, many different ways of serving. We have transportation. Praise God, people can get there. We have ones that are going to be taping, ones videoing, ones opening the doors, ones ushering, ones ministering the Word, teaching, crafts. We can go on and on and on. And how does the fullness of the Lord come forth? It's when we're all flowing together under the headship of Christ. Then the conference flows and He's able to accomplish what He desires. If we start thinking, my little area is the most important, we can start limiting the Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, may we see how much we need one another. May we appreciate one another's service. And we're not in our natural self, you can't see it. It's impossible for us to appreciate one another in our natural selves because we're so self-centered. And I think that the bookstore is the most important thing there. And if you all don't get it, you're just missing the whole conference. But no, it's all just but in the Lord, as we can start seeing from His perspective and have His heart of love for our Master, the confidence we have of going into this conference is it originated in our Master's heart. The conference didn't originate in our heart. It originated in His heart, and He wants to accomplish something. And as we flow together, there can bring about a fullness to that time. But praise God, that's not just, we don't limit that to the conference. I'm using it as an example. We gather here weekly as we live together as brothers and sisters within the house of God. How is the fullness of His life manifested? As we serve Him and serving one another, and we start to appreciate one another in a fuller and a greater way. and not elevating ones or putting down ones or any thinking this is more important or that. Oh, how we need to see the preciousness of the life of the Lord and His service in every member of the body of Christ, because He is the head. It's His life within each one of us. And this is what He's jealous for in these days. He's jealous that His house would be built. He's jealous it'd be a testimony unto Him. But there's too many of us volunteering within the house of God to do our own thing. But may the Lord convict us and the Holy Spirit show our hearts that we could be bond slaves to Him and serve what He wants, not serving our own desires and getting our own self-satisfaction by what we accomplish. May we give the Holy Spirit that freedom. So as we continue on where do we serve, we can come to this next question. Okay, all right, we're going to serve. Well, how do I know what to do? Well, we do whatever the Master says. Whatever the Master says. Because a bond slave knows the heart of the Master. A bond slave not only knows the Master's heart, he knows the Master's desire. It's a beautiful picture in Psalm 127 of the bond slave has his eyes upon the hands of the Master. He's not occupied with all of the needs around, but his eyes are upon the Master. That when the Master does his bidding, he hears and he knows. Jim, last week, as he was speaking, talking about how we need to know the Lord, His heart and His desire. We would have, this is where the ear is so vital, that we could come in to knowing what is His heart and His desire. And as He speaks, He will lead and He'll show us how or what we're to do. When we consider this matter of serving in the house of God, do we start looking around? Oh, there, there, there. Or do we fall on our face before Him and say, Lord, I want to serve You. Show me how to serve within the house of God. And if we honestly ask the Lord that, He's not going to say no. He's not going to say, just sit there and wait. There will be, He will show us where to live and to function within the house of God. But what's the volunteer's attitude? Must be told what to do. Volunteer just sits. I remember when I went in the military, I was just sat there. They told me to do this. I did that. And we so often as we volunteer for things, we don't really understand the whole. We don't see the whole Master's heart and the big picture. We just see our little aspect. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. And that's it gets away from being a heart thing. You know, there's so many of us as we sit and we say, you just tell me what to do, and I'll do what you tell me to do. But no, it's the Lord telling us what to do. Or we have put our little to-do list together. Now, I put that up there with fear and trembling because we need lists. I'm not saying we are so spiritual that we never have to-do lists. Because the Lord showed Moses a pattern, and then Moses went according to the pattern. We come, they're ones that the Lord has given a direction, and we flow together and we serve in the different areas. So don't get so spiritual on us that we say, oh, anybody with a list is unspiritual. No. You know, there's an order, and there's a way and a flow and a life. But it's what is the source of the list? What is the source? Is it coming just, is it from Him showing the pattern and the way? Or is it just our own, oh, here's something over there needs done, something there, something there. Again, it gets back to the source, the heart of the whole issue that needs to be done. Again, our Lord Jesus is the perfect example here. Because when He was upon the earth, how did our Lord Jesus know what to do? Did He do anything of His own? He did what the Father told Him. He was able, He could do a lot. He said, I did not do anything on my own initiative. And now we have that life within us that should not be doing anything on our own initiative, but allowing that life to lead us into a fuller expression of Himself. Because we can say our Lord Jesus had an ear to hear what His Father's heart was. And it was tragic with the disciples when they would ask Him things. He would say, have you been with me so long, and yet you don't know me? You don't know me like this? Brothers and sisters, have we been with Him so long? Do we know Him? Do we know our Master's heart? Do we know our Master's desire? when our Lord was upon the earth, as He walked upon this earth, He was conscious. The Lord, as He would walk through a street, He would notice someone that was hurting. He would notice someone that needed a touch. And as His Father directed Him, He went in and He ministered. And as we become more and more given to our Heavenly Father, He opens our eyes that we can be conscious. It's amazing to me how unconscious we can be. And particularly us, it seems like men can be very unconscious. We can just be totally unconscious to a situation. And so often we can look around and we'll say, oh, look at that brother over there. Gee, nobody's helping him. He's got such a heavy burden on his shoulder. It really would be nice if maybe somebody could go pray with him. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit is bringing something to our light. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit pointing out something to us so that we can go and serve and that we can minister. You know, I was thinking, I get amazed at some of the mothers at the conference. Here's a mother going through the cafeteria line, and she's got 6 kids. She's carrying 4 trays. She's pouring milk. And we're sitting, wow, look at all that mother's doing. She's really great. And it's like, wait a minute, maybe you're seeing that so that we could get off out of our chairs and go help her. That's a little thing. So often we want to look for the big things that we would characterize them to serve. But the Lord opens our eyes to see situations that, hey, maybe He's opening my eyes to see this marvelous mother doing this terrific act because He wants me to go give her a hand. Are we conscious of the Holy Spirit speaking to us and training us to serve within the house of God? Or do we get so overwhelmed by our own situations at times that we can't even serve? To me, one of the most beautiful pictures of service in the Old Testament is Joseph. And we know that Joseph served the Lord wherever he was, whether he was in his father's house, whether he was in the pit, whether he was in the prison, whether he was in Potiphar's house or the palace. Wherever Joseph was, he was serving. But as we see Joseph, there's a beautiful picture when he was in prison, because we know he was wrongly imprisoned. He was only in prison because he was faithful to the Lord. He said, I will not sin against the Lord or my master. And he was in prison. And because of his faithfulness, he ended up being there. And so what's Joseph's attitude as you see him there? Is he self-pity? Is he trying to get all the other guys to sign a petition to get him out? Is he drawing sympathy from his own condition or situation? No. It's a beautiful picture. One morning, Joseph wakes up, and in the midst of his affliction, in the midst of all his troubles, he notices 2 of the other prisoners have troubled faces. The cupbearer and the baker, they've had dreams that were troubling them. Joseph was able to notice others' troubles in spite of his own troubles. And this is a bond slave. A bond slave notices others. A bond slave is conscious of others. Joseph showed both of these men what was going to occur. And he was just so not so self-absorbed. And I get convicted of that every time I read that chapter. Because as I'm going through things, as I have troubles and trials in my life, I can become so self-absorbed and paralyzed that there could be someone dying right beside me and I wouldn't even notice it. I'd be crying out for help for myself. Would the Lord help us to really lay down our own selfish desires, wants, needs? Sure, as we're together in the house of God, things will happen. And that's what Jim encouraged us last week. Grow up. And that was a question I had. How many cleaned up their rooms this week? We'll see who was here last week. All right. But we have to see that in spite of our situations, the bond slave is still serving. Joseph, in spite of his affliction, was still serving. So may our troubles not hinder us from serving one another, serving our master within the house of God. And then we come to the next question. And we can say, all right, when do I serve? Well, you're beginning to pick up the answers here. The bond slave serves continually. Whenever the master says, he serves. But the volunteer, My convenience fits into my schedule. Again, the contrast between the self-centeredness and the master-centeredness. Our service is at His bidding, brothers and sisters. Our service isn't at our own bidding. It's not at the pressure of others, but at His bidding. You know, I remember when our Lord was upon the earth and His dear friend Lazarus died. There was a lot of pressure for Him to go right away. Or even when Lazarus, when he heard he was sick, go right away, see what you can do. What did He respond? He stayed where He was. And then at the proper time, when the Father said, He went. And it was by our Lord's obedience that the glory of the Lord shone forth with Lazarus being resurrected. Our Lord, when He was upon this earth, said, anybody who wants to serve Me, follow Me. Who all, so often in the days we're living, we end up following so many other things. We try to fit things into our schedules and our convenience. It always amazes me, because I'm guilty, of how maybe something is going on. We don't particularly like it, or we don't have a particular burden for that aspect of something. And so I'm not going. And someone calls us up and says, hey, you want to go here? Want to go do this? And maybe you particularly like that. We will work ourselves to death, rearranging our whole schedule to fit in what we want to do. All right, it's amazing the effort, the tireless energy we can do, the great efforts we go to rearrange to fit things in to what we want to do. To fit in with my convenience. You know, I often think on this matter of when do I serve. The Lord, it's like, don't you think when the Lord calls us to serve, well, Lord, it's really not convenient now. When He was upon the earth and He called ones to follow Him, there were those that said, well, I just bought some land. I've got to go take care of that. I need to go bury my father. Got to take care of that. Just got married. Got to go take care of it. Don't you think the Lord knows all these things? When the Lord says, I want you to do this, do you think He doesn't already know our entire life and situation? It's not like, oh, I didn't realize that was just happening to you. And so, now, why don't you go, oh, that's okay. I didn't realize that was going on. I didn't realize you just got married, so that's okay. Well, no. He's calling. When He calls us, He knows exactly where we are, exactly what's going on in our lives. And we don't need to allow. These are legitimate things, but we can allow them to hinder us from serving within the house of God. And it's amazing to me how at times, as you visit places, as we're around here, you see young brothers and sisters serving the Lord. They're serving the Lord day in and day out, and they've really given themselves to the Lord. But then, it's one of the greatest vanishing acts in history. All of a sudden, somebody gets married. And where are they? Where are the young couples? You know, that always encourages me when I see young couples serving the Lord together within the house of God. Because somehow we think that, well, I've got this going on, and therefore this is a priority now. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is the one who originates marriage. The Lord is the one who puts us right where we are. He brings us together. Sure, things might be adjusted, but we are called when He says, follow Me. As that one said, well, I just got married. No, the Lord knew you just got married and He's still wanting you to follow Him and serve you, serve Him within the house of God. And may we just really allow Him to do it. Because so often, you know, we talk about how it has to fit into my schedule. Well, how is your schedule determined? My schedule is determined on my priorities, the things I want to do. And that's where the Lord brings conviction in, that we could really, may the Lord really convict us in a way that we could see what He's called us to do. And not only where we're serving and when we're serving, but the who we're serving. We serve, you know, brothers and sisters, how many in this room are prejudiced? Every hand should be up. We're all prejudiced. We have people in this room we like, and we have people in this room we don't like. Okay. But who does the Lord call us to serve? It's, you know, again, He's probably going to call us to serve some we don't like, because He wants to see. He wants to train us. As we give ourselves to the Lord and we say, Lord, okay, I want to be fit for your service. I want to be fit for the Master's use. He says, okay, Peter, you go to these Gentiles. Or you go somewhere that you don't like this person. The Lord is training us in all these opportunities and situations. But we can be so prejudiced. We can make great efforts to serve ones that we like or serve the so-called big names. But how about the so-called little brethren? How about the ones that we don't like? Are our hearts given to them in the same way? When it says the bond slave loved his master and his household, he didn't say and his household except for the few that he didn't like. He said it was a whole household there. We love one another. And we have one of the greatest things of setting us free is to see that we can't love one another in ourselves, but as His love, as we're captured by His love and He's ruling, then we can enter into all that He has. Need to move on here. All right, last question here. How long do we serve? And as we said, the bond slave gave himself for a lifetime. He's a full time given to the Lord. Often ones will say, now who's a full time servant? Within this room, how many full time servants of the Lord do we have? Again, all of our hands should be raised up. We're all full-time servants of the Lord. He's called each and every one of us to serve Him every day. Now, that service can take many different forms. That service can be in your house. That service can be raising the children. That service can be at work. That service can be in many different forms. But whatever we're doing it as service unto Him, and it's full-time. But now the volunteer sets his own hours. And the volunteer is just part-time. Because the volunteer, if he doesn't like what's going on, if they get tired of it, they can just quit. You know, the volunteer is free to quit anytime. You get tired of what you're doing, you don't feel it's fulfilling, somebody hurts your feelings, I quit. I'm not doing that anymore. They don't appreciate me, I'm not going to do that anymore. Look at all the work and effort I did. I made that family this and this, and they don't appreciate that. I'm not going to do that for them anymore. The full time. You know, I always appreciate the Lord, because at times I don't fully appreciate all He does in my life. And yet, while I, in my unfaithfulness, He remains faithful, and He comes back. And it's that spirit of the bond slave that serves the ones. Serving the unlovely. Serving the ones when we get our feelings hurt. Serving the ones when we're not appreciated. Serving the ones when we get offended. Serving the ones when it gets hard. You know, Jim last week said, grow up. Well, growing up is hard. So what do we get out when the going gets tough? No, it's hard. Or maybe we get distracted by something else. Oh, the old grass is greener on the other side. I was doing this, but oh, look at that. Look at all the ones they're doing over there. Or you have all these young brothers doing something over here, but then all of a sudden the young sisters are doing something over here. Oh, I think I'll go serve over here. And they get distracted by so many different things. But, brothers and sisters, serving the Lord is for a lifetime. The bond slave had given himself to the Lord for the fullness of the Lord to speak. And that this is why. When there's a story, and it's in Luke chapter 9, of one who came up to the Lord and said, Lord, I'll serve you. He probably was kind of a volunteer. And what did the Lord say to him? Great, enter into my service? He said, no. He said, you know, the foxes have holes, birds have nests, Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Count the cost. Because being a bond slave will cost you something. It'll cost us our natural life. It will cost us our self-life. Oh, but what we gain. And that's why when we compare what we give up, it's like Paul's testimony in Philippians 3. He counted all things as loss in value of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. And he was pressing on. What was Paul's ambition? Paul was an ambitious man in life. And what was his ambition? He was ambitious that he could be pleasing to God, that he could be well-pleasing to his master. He was given to him. He was captured by the essence of the master's heart. The volunteer just loves himself. It's what I can get out of it. I'm living for myself. I'm doing what I want to do. But brothers and sisters, as we see these contrasts here, we see more and more, this is a heart issue. I don't want anybody coming up at the end and saying, okay, Mac, I got your message, so now I'll never use the word volunteer again. I'm not talking about changing vocabulary. If it was that simple, don't you wish it was? I don't care if you use the word volunteer. I use it. But it's what is the spirit and heart of what we're talking about when we're serving the Lord and serving His house. This is what we're doing. And now we need to be careful too. Because we have to be careful not to judge one another in this. We start talking about two things, we can start looking and we can start judging. Oh, that one's just a volunteer. That one's a volunteer. No. Because outwardly, they can look the same. Outwardly, to our natural eyes, they can look the same. The Lord takes care of that. It's not our worry. We serve Him. He takes care of that. And actually, at times, volunteers can appear to even outwork some bond slaves. We see ones that the way they're given in some of these, like the Cancer Society or different things, they're so given to it. And the work and the energy they put into it, it can look like they're outworking others. But if we look at the bond slave, our Lord Jesus Christ, what does it testify of the works that He did? John writes that, I guess if they were written in detail, all of the books in the whole world wouldn't contain it. He was about His Father's business. And are we about our Father's business? Are we doing that? Because we have, in the days we're living in, the question it comes down to, and you see it all throughout Scripture, is who are we serving? Are we serving ourselves or are we serving the Lord? And it comes down even to a narrower perspective than that, is who are you in love with? Are we in love with the Lord? Are we in love with ourselves? And actually, as the Holy Spirit touches our heart, we'll find out, I found out, most of us, we're just a mixture. We're a mixture. It's a lot like the Galatians. They began in the Spirit and started going on in the flesh. But praise the Lord, as we give ourselves to the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes in and shines His light, He's shining His light out of love for us to set us free from the snare and the death of self. The volunteer and the self-centered one is just a pathway of death. But the pathway of the bond slave is a pathway of life and love. And He's setting us free. So often when the Lord points out something in our lives and within my life, I think, oh, I'm so horrible. I can't do that. So I say, well, I'm so bad, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit down and never do anything again. No, the Lord shows us that to set us free from it. The problem with most of us within the house of God is not that we think we're too bad. It's that we don't see how bad we really are. We still think there's a little bit of good. Well, but then the Lord, because He loves us, if we can get this, and I've been praying I can get this through my thick head and into my heart, that every time He's exposing something within us, it's because He loves us. And it's His great love that wants to set us free, that we can be captured by Him. He sets us free that we can be captured by His love. I was reminded of, as we're going into the conference, we're going to be talking a lot about building. And in these end days, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of trials and pressures upon us. And the Lord will be testing us. There is a testing going on. But what's the test? Is it of Jesus Christ or is it not? This is the test. Is it of eternal value? And as we think about this theme for the conference, I was drawn to the story that our Lord told in Luke 6. You can turn over and we can finish with this. It's in Luke 6:46. And the Lord, He says, it's a familiar story, and He says, Lord, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then He comes in and He brings a contrast here. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I'll show him who he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. When the flood rose, the torrent burst against the house could not shake it because it had been well built. It came back to the foundation. And brothers and sisters, this issue of consecration, this issue of settling who's Lord of our life, is a foundational issue. That as that is settled, and we have the trials and the tempest of life coming in, our foundation is sure and solid. And that what we're doing is of eternal value. And it doesn't fade away. But as we see in 49, there are ones who heard. Now these aren't ones who did not hear. These are ones that heard. This is very clear. But they didn't act accordingly. It's like a man who built a house upon a ground without any foundation. Again, the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed. The ruin of that house was great. All of vanity. Brothers and sisters, how we need to make certain of foundations being solid and sure in these days ahead. Because as we've said in that psalm that we began with, Lord, is there anything hurtful within me? Having an unsure foundation, having a foundation that is not solid, can be very hurtful. Can be hurtful to us. Can be hurtful to our family. Can be hurtful to the brothers and sisters. And it's grieving to the Lord. But may we ask the Lord in a fresh way to show us more of His love. As He shows us His love, it brings in the contrast. And we see that, yes, I really think as long as we're in these fleshly bodies, well, there's always going to be a mixture. There are no pure bond slaves and pure volunteers. We're a mixture. But brothers and sisters, our desire is to be conformed more into His image. And that He would increase within us and we would decrease. And that as we see His love, we would be captured by that love. And that we would be set free to really serve Him and serve His house. There's a beautiful hymn written by George Matheson. I don't know if we know it, but I wanted to just read the words to the hymn. And as a closing, as we read these words, as a closing prayer also, it's a beautiful hymn. It says, "Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I sink in life's alarms when by myself I stand. Imprison me within thine arms, and strong shall be my hand. My heart is weak and poor until its master find. It has no spring of action sure. It varies with the wind. It cannot freely move till thou hast wrought its chain. Enslave it with thy matchless love, and deathless it shall reign. My power is faint and low till I have learned to serve. It wants the needed fire to glow. It wants the breeze to nerve. It cannot drive the world until itself be driven. Its flag can only be unfurled when thou shalt breathe from heaven. My will is not my own till thou hast made it thine. If I would reach the monarch's throne, it must its crown resign. It only stands unbid amid the clashing strife when on thy bosom it was lent and found in thee its life." May all of our prayer be that He would make us a captive. Captive of His love, and that in that we would be set free. Lord, we do want to return unto You this morning. And Lord, I thank You for your patience with me. I thank You for Your patience with each one of us. Because truly it is a love that never lets us go. Lord, we pray that today, Lord, Your Holy Spirit could be working within our hearts in a way that we could see, Lord, the eternal value of giving ourselves freely unto You and being captured by Yourself. Lord, where we are serving our own interest, where we're trying to please man, Lord, in Your love, would You touch those spots within our life, that we truly could be free
Lord, make us captives of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.